nothing we can do about it. Then there's others on the other extreme that say, well, it's too late to do anything about it. But I believe somewhere in between there, God is saying that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and call on my name, I will heal their land. Amen? So August 16th, if you can, make plans to be here for 1 hour. We're going to be praying over our nation. Amen? Well, how many of you got your Bibles with you this morning? Hallelujah. Hold them up. Let's see those beautiful things. Yes, that looks good. That looks good. You can put them down. I want to talk about breaking barriers in life. Breaking barriers in life. You know, back a little over 50 years ago, there was an athletic event that people thought, there was a record in an athletic event, the mile, that people thought would never be broken. They said it's just humanly impossible. It cannot be done. You'll never do it. And that was for somebody to run under a 4-minute mile. Everybody said it cannot be done. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. That was a prevailing thought of that day. But you know what? There was an Englishman by the name of Bannister that he had a different thought. He said it can be done. And you know, the interesting thing about it was in 1954, Bannister, John Bannister, the first one to run under and break that 4-minute barrier. And you know what? It wasn't but just a few weeks later, somebody else broke it. And a few months later, dozens of people have broken it. And nowadays, there's one person, I was looking on the internet, there's one person that has broken it, just the same person, 136 different times. But why was it that it went so long, they went for so many years and decades, and nobody could seem to break it? Obviously, that wasn't a true statement, was it? But here's the thing. There can be barriers that are set up in our lives, both natural and spiritual, that come there. And basically, the barrier was a mindset, wasn't it? That basically was what the barrier was, because obviously it's very humanly possible, because in the 50-plus years from that, all kinds of people have broken it. And so I want to talk about breaking through barriers today. And I mentioned this in this place, and I'm going to bring it back up, but I mentioned it in our prayer time Monday night. But there was a place called Jabbok in the Old Testament, and it really represented two things. It represented both the limitations and the breakthroughs for the children of Israel. Now, I'm not going to have time to read all the scriptures, but in Numbers 21:24. Probably put it up on the screen there. It talks about the fact that that Israel, one of their borders, after they came into the land, you see it there, it says, and Israel smote the king of the Amorites with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from the river Arnon to the river Jabbok as far as the Ammonites, for the boundary of the Ammonites was strong. And there are many other scriptures. Just let me give you some other references. You don't have to put them up on the screen. Deuteronomy 3:16 and Judges 11:22 basically say the same thought. And that is this, that there was a stronghold at this place, at this river called Jabbok, and it became a boundary and a limitation for the expansion and the growth of the people of Israel. Now, God had told them, he said, when you come into the land, he said, I've given you all the land. Remember that? Are y'all out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, blink your eyes every now and then. You know me, I like response. I'm an interactive preacher. You won't bother me. And so that became their limitation. It became their boundary. Jabbok, and that word Jabbok means a crossing over place or an overwhelming place. It's interesting. It's got both connotations. And you know, here's the thing. Many times we face things in our life. We face, it might be circumstance. It might be, you know, the family we grew up in, whatever it might be that has become a barrier. And what is an overwhelming, what overwhelms one person, for somebody else, they cross on over it. What is the difference? You know, sometimes we've tried to think up theology for the reason why this person has victory and this one doesn't, and this one went through and that one didn't. But the truth of the matter is the limitations are set by us and not by God. The limitations are set by us and not by God. Turn over to Psalm 78. A very interesting and enlightening scripture here in Psalm 78, verse 41. He says, speaking of the children of Israel, again, they put God to the to the test, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Some translations have tempting and vexed, but if you look at it, also the connotation is limiting. You know why God was vexed? Because they limited him. Now, at first thought, you think, how can a man limit God? That seems impossible. I mean, here's the God of the universe, the God that created things, the God that has all power. How can a man possibly limit God? Well, God has given us the power to choose, hasn't he? He's given us the power to choice. And he says, you choose. Now, here's the thing I found out. I can have as much of God as I want. Now, that was a little easier to swallow. The next statement is not going to be quite as easy to swallow. You have as much of God as you want. That one's a little harder to swallow, isn't it? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a hunger and a thirst. But here's the thing. The more I hunger and thirst for God, what? The more of God I'm going to have in my life. Or the more God's going to have my life. However we want to put that. So we have to understand the tests, the trials, the circumstances. We all face things in life. Mine might be a little bit different from yours, but all of the circumstances, all of the things that we have faced in life up until this day, have the purpose of it has been to defeat us, to destroy us, and especially to do this, to create mindset barriers in our thinking. God, he will do it with individuals. He will do it in families, you know. You ever heard of, you know, somebody in a family starts having a new thought and immediately the family will slap them down. Well, oh, wait a minute. It might be something as natural like getting an education or going to college. Wait a minute. Nobody in our family's ever done that. Wait a minute. I'm going to start a new bed. Nobody's ever done that in our family. You know, all our family, we just don't do that. We don't. You know, and immediately what? You see their mindset. I shared with them, you know, it's interesting. Did you know, anybody ever heard of a flea circus? Did you know you can really train fleas? That's amazing, isn't it? You know, some of you got a lot of time on your hands. You might want to take that up or something. But, you know, one of the things I read about is you can condition them. They put them in this jar like one of those mason jars, you know, those quart jars. They put it in there, put the top on it. And you know, how many of you know fleas hop? You know, fleas, just out with no barrier or anything, they can jump several feet. You know, you ever had them jump on you? You know, from a long ways off, they can jump on you. But they put them in this jar, and they jump, kept them in there for a while, and they kept hitting the top of that jar. You know, eventually they could take the top of that jar off, and those fleas wouldn't jump any higher than the top of the jar. You know why? They were conditioned. There was a preset mindset that comes in us, and if we're not careful, that's what happened to us. We push up against these boundaries, which are really not a boundary at all. It's a boundary of a mindset that we have been conditioned in life through circumstance, through the words of others, through associations, through all those things. Because here's the thing. Your believing is based on your thinking. If you're thinking wrong, you're going to believe wrong. In other words, we could put it this way. If you're thinking is small, you're going to believe small. Isn't that right? If your thinking takes you to this high and no higher, then that's it. And even though God has all power, God wants to do greater things in your life. God's wants to take you from glory to glory, as the scriptures say, as he wants to fulfill his plan and purpose. What? We, all of us, and listen, all of us have been conditioned to some degree. All of us have been conditioned. Life has conditioned us. Circumstance has conditioned us. The family we grew up has conditioned us. I believe that even this truth is a spiritual, universal truth. It's a powerful thing. And that's why you can see, even in families that may not be Christians, but they had a mindset that had taken off the limitations in the natural. You know what? You'll see their family members, if they were successful, you'll see them many times, they're successful. I'm talking in the natural. Why? Because they grew up in an environment where they were encouraged. You can do this. You can do big things. You can break through. That's not a barrier. You can move through that. But here in the church, you know, many times we want to scoff at all that, you know, and we get all religious. You know, get all those stuff in there. But listen, we also, remember he said they limited the Holy One. What limited them? It was their thinking primarily. The Israelites, you think about it, 400 years in slavery. How do you think that shaped their thinking? I mean, you know, I'm a slave. Dad was a slave. Granddad was a slave. Great-granddad was a slave. Great-great-granddad was a slave. And great-great-great-granddad was a slave. We all been slaves. That's who we are. We are slaves. Are you listening? And the Bible says, speaking of all of us, that we were slaves to sin. And what did sin do? Sin conditioned our thinking. You're no good. You can't do it. God doesn't like you. You're not good enough. You're not special enough. You don't have enough faith. God won't do that for you. Oh, yeah, God will bless that, but they ain't gonna do it for you. All of those things are wrong thinking. And what it has done, it has come to set our the limits. It's preset, you know? You know, if you buy a computer or something, Bruce was helping me out with my computer yesterday at the house, and he was talking about, well, what about this and what about this? I said, I don't know. Whatever they came with, that's what I did. You know, I didn't know enough to reset nothing. You know, but it come with settings, you know? And the thing is, you know, in life, as we grow up, we've come with settings, and we've come to think that's the norm. See, I didn't know you could go in and adjust all that stuff. I thought that's just the way it is. All computers are that way, aren't they? You know, like the lady cut the ham off, right? But we get our thinking there. And it's very important. If we're going to break the barriers into all that God has for us, not only just the blessings, but even more importantly, so that God can begin to use us individually and as a church. You know, a church can get limitations set on it. A church can develop a mindset. It can. And every church has one. Every church has a mindset, an atmosphere, a level of faith that they're at, a place where they're at. And as long as they're within that confine, praise God, they're good to go. You know what I mean by that? We're good to go. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying I'm diagnosing it so we can see. How do we limit God? And so we want to say, you know, and here's the thing. The more we take the limits off of God, the more we see God work, the more faith arises, the more confident we come in God, the more we take off the limits in God, the more God. See, we get that thing working for us instead of against us. This is why it's so important that we have to change our thinking. Wrong thinking will always lead to a mindset of doubt and unbelief. And that's what limits God. Don't ask me, you know, that's just the way God set it up. Without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. Impossible. Now, you know who said that? God said that. Now, how many of you know, even though God said with God, all things are possible. If God says something is impossible, then what is it? It's impossible. He said, without faith, it is impossible, God said, to please me. What happened to the children of Israel? They were not pleasing to God. I didn't say God didn't love them. I said they were not pleasing to God. They didn't enter into all that God had for them. They didn't bring the glory to God that God... And you know, here's the thing. You can tell their mindset because they griped and complained and murmured and fussed and cussed and kicked and clawed and all, you know, all that. Why? Because that was their mindset. That's what they had done in Egypt. They thought, this is the way you're supposed to get things done. You just gripe and complain enough and maybe they'll do something for me. But with God, he said, no, it's faith. He said, take the limits off of me. So what we have to do is we've got to what? Renew our mind. Turn over to Romans 12 there for a moment. We're talking about taking the limits off of God. And listen, again, every one of us, we have somewhere is a ceiling in our life for God. Are you listening? A ceiling for our faith. A ceiling for what we believe God can do or is willing to do. Come on, in our life, sure. How many of you know, notice it's always easier to believe for somebody else than for yourself? See, that ought to tell you something right there. Why? Because God's no respecter of person. The faith, and have you ever noticed it seems like sometimes your faith works better for somebody else than it does for you? Well, see, it's because what? See, with them, you're not dealing with their presets. You're not dealing with all their limitations. You know, you just come into agreement in the Word of God, just like God says, that's it. Yeah. And see, that's many times that's why we have to get people to agree with us, because sometimes we're facing something that's above our ceiling. You know, I know this about, I'm not a pilot, but being around pilot, my pastor is a pilot. But I know this, you know, you get qualified as a pilot, and depending on your qualification, as the type of plane you can fly, and the type of plane you fly depends on the altitude you can go. You know, you see those little, you know, those little Cessnas, you don't see them flying up at 30,000 feet. They're bopping along down here just above treetop. You know, I think I've been in one or two of those, hadn't you, on those commuter flights, you know. But then you get in one of those big 747s. Glory to God. You're way up above the clouds, up above the weather, smooth sailing. But you know what? You can get, you know, they get in that rocket ship, that Challenger, or one of those shuttles. Oh, buddy. But how many of you know the thrust to get you up into space is different than the thrust to get you up just above the treetop? Boy, I'm telling you what, don't you know when they kick them rocket engines in, they know it. They ain't wondering. I wonder if it's working, man. You know, there's some power coming. And so we have those preset limits, and God says, He says, don't limit me. And we don't do it intentionally. We don't do it. That's just the way we've been conditioned to think and to believe. In Romans 12, have you found that? Okay, good job. Verse 1, it says here, we're going to read it. I'm going to read it out of the... Well, you got the Amplified. Good. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties. That would include our mind, wouldn't it? Faculties. As living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service in spiritual worship. Put verse 2 up there. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed. That word transformed there in the Greek is metamorphosis. He says you need to morph in your thinking. You need to change, to be metamorphed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals, its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight. Amen? Now, the inference here is that if we do not do this, if we do not obey this injunction of God here in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we will not enter in to the good and perfect will of God. We will not have the fullness of God. You say, well, will I be saved? Will I go to heaven? Yeah, but don't you want more than that? Don't you want to be able to express more of the Savior than just the fact that, you know, the grace of God has forgiven me? That's a beautiful thing to demonstrate. Don't misunderstand me. But there is more for us. And you know what? I'm not just looking to get in. Just long as I get in, I'm content with that. That might have been maybe 30 years ago when I first got saved. That might have been my motivation, and probably was. But as we grow in God, our motivation moves beyond just getting myself into heaven. Now I want to see others. I want to bring others in. I want to see the kingdom of God expanded. I want to see God set people free. I want to see God move through my life. But the problem is this thing right up here. How many remember that when you first got saved, you still thought the same way? Your mind didn't change. Because when you're saved, when your sins are forgiven, that deals with the spirit. But your mind has to be renewed. What? By the word of God. Now let me read you some different translations here. He says... Phillips' translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Isn't that what it tries to do? It says, think like I think. Have my worldview. Think the way we think. This is the way to think. This is the way to think. This is what it's all about. And the next thing you know, you start thinking that way. You start. Well, it might be about the economy. It might be about the political scene. It might be about all kind of social or moral issues or whatever it may be. It's trying to squeeze you into thinking that way. It'll try to squeeze you into thinking, listen, God don't work miracles anymore. God's not going to do that for you. Yeah, you know, that's just a bunch of superstitious stuff.
God's not going to do that. You think God's going to heal somebody? You think God's going to bless you? God's going to give you money? Are you telling me God's going to give you money? Man, I just think you were crazy. Now I know you are. Come on. Tries to squeeze you into its mold. Tries to build a worldview that is not God-centered. It's not Bible-centered. There are a lot of Christians. The reason God's limited in their life, they have more of a worldview than they do a God view. Amen. You know, you run into them, they're thinking just like the world thinks. You know, God don't do any of that stuff anymore. God don't do that. You know, hard time, boy, hard times are here. We deserve it. I deserve it. I know it. Bad things are coming. You know, I talk to some Christians, and you know, they're just coming out of something, and you know, they're already talking up the next one. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, man, we made it through this one. Boy, but I know, man, there's another one right around the corner. Sometimes, just to get their attention, I'm tempted to say, may it be unto you according to your faith. But I didn't. And I wouldn't say that to be mean. I'd just say that to get their attention because they don't realize what they're doing. They're limiting God. So he says, don't be conformed. He said, you got to be renewed. He said, Goodspeed says, but be renewed by a new attitude of mind. And let God remold your minds from within, Phillips translation says. So here's the thing. The first thing, if we're going to break a barrier, we've got to change. Right up here. Remember, I used to say it humorously, but it's true. You know, the great revelation I had, greatest revelation I ever had, God's smarter than I am. Did you know this thing up here, until you get your mind renewed, it won't believe it? It won't. I've been there. Have you ever been there? Y'all look at me so holy. Y'all ever thought y'all were in a situation you were smarter than God? Might have done it ignorantly, but you know, I know God said do that, but you know, this looks like the right way to go. Now, I know none of y'all have ever done that. Y'all are just light years ahead of me. Pray for me. But you know, those that have done that, we found out real quick, God's smarter than I am, isn't it? And what we do is we renew our mind. What do? We begin to think like God about a situation. We begin to see the world the way God sees it. We begin to see beyond just the natural into the realm of the spirit. We begin to understand that there are forces at work in an unseen world, that there are two worlds that are coexisting together. One is the seen material world. The other one is the unseen spiritual world. And the spiritual world always dominates the natural world because God, who is a spirit, created all matter. But the natural worldview will tell you, if you can't see it, it ain't real. You know, I want to ask the guy one time, I said, you ever seen your brain? It must not be real. And I don't say this, but I do think sometimes, I wonder if you got one. You may be right in this case. You know, y'all are laughing. Y'all don't ever think stuff like that, do you? Think, Pastor, what's wrong with you? So we've got to change our thinking. Let me say this again. Thinking, what you think, affects your believing and our attitude. So here's the thing. We set and determine our limits or our breakthroughs. We set and determine our limits or our breakthroughs. Jesus said this, with God, all things are what? How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. All right. Jesus also said, to him that believes, all things are possible. How many believe that? Not nearly as many hands went up. See? What's that? That's our thinking again, isn't it? Oh, yes, bless God, brother. Pastor, God can do anything. Amen. You know, I told you that humor story about Brother Hagin preaching, talking about along these lines one time. And he said, some people think God can just at any time, under any circumstance, do whatever he wants to anytime, you know, and the guy jumped up and said, yes, amen, I believe that. And all. And he said, without thinking, he said, well, how come God can't make you pay your tithes? Guy ducked down behind the bench. Blew up that theory, didn't it? But here's the thing. We set our limitations and we also set our breakthroughs. Well, it's going to start with our thinking.
This is why you've got to get into the book every day. You say, but Pastor, why every day? Because every day you're in this world. Man, it's feeding you its ideas all the time. It doesn't matter. You say, well, I don't even have a TV. It don't matter. You can't ride down the road and not see a billboard. It's coming at you. It's coming at you. It's coming at you. And not to mention growing up, all that stuff. Now, some of the stuff, obviously, we got some good stuff from our parents. But some stuff, they didn't know any better. And so they set limitations in us, too. They set a belief system in us, too. And we've got to get something. And the only thing that can break it is getting into God's Word. If you look at Psalm 1, he says over there, he said, meditate. He said, I'm going to meditate in your word, what? Day and night. He said, meditate in it. Get in the word every day, daily, daily. I remember when I first got saved, I knew I needed to get my mind renewed. Now, you know, after I was taught that, I realized, that's me, all right. You know, because I didn't know any kind of God thinking. You know, all I knew was, you know, world thinking, devil thinking. So I took what I did, and I began to take, I took some of these 3x5 cards, you know. Some of y'all grew up in the technology age, y'all might not know what those are. They're index cards, you know, white ones, and they got the lines on them for all the young folks. And I would write out the verses. You know, I'd write me out 10 or 12 at a time, and I'd keep them in my shirt pocket or keep them in my back pocket, and I'd take them with me. And when I was working or whatever to do, on break time, not on the boss's time, but on my time, you know, I'd pull them things out, man, and I'd start reading through them about what God said about me and what God said He would do for me and the promises of God. And I'm telling, because see, it takes a process. You know, you grew up and all this stuff coming at you, and it renewed and set the limits in your mind. Now, what do we got to do? We got to renew, if you will, your mind with the Word of God. And the Word of God's the only thing that is powerful. Remember, turn over to pardon me, 2 Corinthians real quickly. Are you still with me? How many give me a few more minutes here? Well, that's all I need. I heard that back there. You stay with me. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish what? Arguments. What are the strongholds? Arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What are the limitations? It's not the devil per se. Yes, he's out there and you have to deal with him. But Jesus has already defeated him. The real thing, the real strongholds he's talking about here that we've got to take captive, and that the Word of God, which is powerful to break these strongholds down, is what? Is the thoughts. It's thoughts that hold us captive. God can't. I can't. We won't. God won't. He never has. It probably won't happen. You know, all that stuff we've been conditioned to. And usually our thinking's been based on either what somebody else told us, or we looked out at our circumstance and what our mind deduced from the circumstance. So from those things, we've come up with the idea, well, I guess God just don't want to bless me. I guess I just never will get a breakthrough. I guess my family will, you know, we just never will amount to anything. I just guess, you know, I'll always have to go through life bound by this sin, this iniquity, this thing. I can't get free. God just won't do it for me. I just don't have enough faith. All those things that are limitations, they have got to be reset by getting into the Word of God. Meditate on the Word. Feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. You know, the word meditate, among other things, means to mutter. Mutter it. Mutter it. Speak it out. That's why I'd write it on those cards, and I'd just kind of read it out, you know, in a low voice, you know. You know, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Just nothing, you know, I could hear it from myself. And I'd go over that and over that and over that. Why? I had to get my mind renewed. And if you're first starting out, it's going to take, I mean, you've got to be regularly disciplined at doing this thing every day. Get your mind renewed. Get your mind renewed. And train yourself to say, now, wait a minute. Before I do anything here, what does God say about this? What does God say about this? And there have been times when I had to say, well, you know what? I don't know. So what do I do when I don't know? I go back to the book. You know?
Man, and you know, nowadays, you know, especially with computers and all, no problem to look up a verse in the Bible now. Boy, you have no excuse. You plug that thing in, man. I get on the e-sword. I plug that thing in, man. I got her right here. That's what God said. That's the promise God said. And you know what I might do before I pray or act on that thing? If it's something new to me, if it's a new area of knowledge, I'll take some time maybe and just meditate on that thing for a day or two or three. Get it in me. Build up my faith. Then I'll pray. Then I'll speak. Then I'll have wisdom and know what to do. But here's the thing. Let's don't limit God through our thinking. Now, real quickly, a couple of other things I want to mention. We're talking about breaking the barriers in our life. And all of us, in a sense, are like those fleas I talked about. You know, we've learned to jump so high. And we think that's as high as we can go, but it's not. Because in God, the limits are taken off. Whatever God said, you know, that's why sometimes, you know, I haven't done it in a while, but sometimes, you know, we make our little confession here. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. What's that all about? That's about renewing our thinking. That's renewing, taking the limits off of God. So if God doesn't limit me in that area, then I'm not going to set a limit. If I look to God and He says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out so much blessing there's not room enough to receive it, then that's going to be my benchmark. Yeah. Not what you think, not what I think, not what Grandma thought. God bless Grandma. But, you know, it's God's going to set the benchmarks in my life. This book is going to set the benchmarks. This determines if I can or if I can't. Because it's not by my own strength or by my own power, but it's by greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. It's because God has said it. And the second thing that plays right off of this has to do with the words we speak. The words that come out of our mouth. You know, it might do you good to get yourself one of these little portable recorders, you know, that's activated by voice, and record what you say for a day. And then go back and play it back. You might want to do this privately the first time. You know, but here's the thing. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:21 says this, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit of it. Life. Remember I said, we set both the limits and the breakthroughs with our thinking and our believing. Because right thinking leads to right believing. But then our words also are powerful. Because what are words? An expression of what? What we're thinking. Isn't that true? Words are an expression of what you're thinking. That's how we express a thought. I mean, a thought doesn't have any life to it, any expression to it, until I what? Say something. You know, I might think all kind of things, but I'm okay until I what? I open my mouth. You know, the quieter I am, the smarter you'll think I am, probably. The more I talk, the dumber I get. Isn't that true sometimes? You know? So here's the thing. We've got to understand that words are powerful. Words are containers. They contain faith. They contain life. They can contain doubt. And they can contain death. Words that tear people down, that tear you down, all those words, you know what? They are given birth through what? Our wrong thinking. And the Bible has a lot, and I don't have time here this morning because my time's up. It says a lot about words. He said, let your words be words of grace seasoned with salt. Let your words be words that bring life, that bring edification, that bring faith, that bring all the what? The things of God's nature, God's kingdom. Instead of all these death words and fear words and doubt words and can't words and won't words and all those kind of. Yeah, you ever notice the world is moving in a negative vein, isn't it? Negative vein. You know, why? Because death is working in this world. The Bible teaches us that. And death is negative. That's the big negative, isn't it? How many of you know that death's negative? Okay, just check. How many of you like life over death? Me too. See, we're pretty smart after all, aren't we? Turn over real quickly, scripture you know, Mark 11:23. Notice what he says here. We're talking about breaking the barriers of our life. Right thinking, and then what? The words that we speak. Notice what Jesus says here. We've heard it many times. Jesus said, Matthew 11, we'll pick it up in 23. He said, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Now, if your mind's not renewed, immediately one of two things will happen. Either you'll try to spiritualize that verse. Well, Jesus was talking spiritually here. He was talking about, you know, sometimes we have a mountain of emotions. No, he was talking about a mountain. And he was giving us a principle here that what? That the words that we speak, faith-filled words, will dominate situations and circumstances. Faith-filled words will dominate. And fear-filled words will bring defeat as well. So here's the thing. A lot of us, you know, a lot of people who would just argue with you that prophecy is not for today, that is not for today, that's passed away, yet every day of their life, they're prophesying. They're prophesying defeat. They're prophesying doom and gloom. They're prophesying fear. They're speaking that over and into their lives. Why? Because their minds are not renewed. Their thinking is not renewed. It's wrong. And so the words that they speak. You ever notice how many times we use death as a descriptor? You know, I'm dying to get there. You know, and I'm not trying to get legalistic. Don't get me there. I'm just trying to make a point. But what? It's because what? This thing is death doomed. And we need to understand if God's going to do something in our life, we've got to what? Allow the words that come out of our mouth to be filled with faith. And I found the best way to start out doing that, train yourself, is just speak the word of God. Man, you hit your thumb with a hammer, you just say, glory to God, by his stripes, I'm healed. Now, you got to train yourself to do that. Isn't that right? And then suck on that thing real good. Isn't that true? But, you know, it's a humorous, but we need to train ourselves. How many of you know life happens? Stuff happens, doesn't it? Bad stuff happens to good people. Because we live in a fallen world and there's a devil. And you know, go, bow, you know. It hits you like that. And at that point, pow, when it hits you, you're going to find out what's in you. Because it's going to come out. You know, oh man, here we go again. I knew it. You ever heard people say that? Something bad happened to them? I knew it. But then you tell them, you know, something good's going to happen to me. I know it. You're crazy. So I have to be negative, but they don't want people around. Why? Because they're not comfortable with that. So here's the thing. Fill your mouth with the word of God. And then the third thing, real quickly here. I wish I had more time to spend on that. Associations. We're talking about breaking barriers. Who are you associated with? Now, if you're married, you're stuck. I ain't a-talking about that. That ain't no association. That's a covenant. Just want to make that clear. That's a covenant. I'm talking about associations, friends, and so forth. Because here's what. The people you're around will set limitations. You're around people that's negative and a gloomy gust and doubting all the time. And whining and murmuring, complaining. The next thing you know, man, you know, it's like some kind of sickness. It's contagious. Next thing you know, it gets on you. And you'll think, wait a minute, what? That's not me. Where'd that come from? That's not the way I am. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, if you want to be wise, he says, associate with wise men, wise people. Isn't that right? Listen, I'm going to love you, but you know what? I'm not going to hang around. You don't be my best pal if you're a garbage mouth. And I don't mean just cussing. I'll tell you, sometimes there's some things I'd rather just hear somebody cuss and say some things. Well, God don't want to do nothing, and God ain't got... Just rear back and cuss. I can handle that a lot easier. Come on. I'm being honest. All this God can... What made God so mad at the Israelites? Just that very thing. Well, God can't. God won't. God brought us out here to kill us. That's what they said. You know, we shouldn't look so shocked. I've heard spirit filled, tongue talking, Holy Ghost, gone to Copeland camp meetings, Christians. say stuff just as foolish. Amen. Of course, you and I, that's a whole nother thing. No, what we've got to put, like David, he said, God, he prayed, put a watch over my mouth. Isn't that right? And with associations. And you know, don't take this further than I meant. But you know, we want to be salt and light, but you know, I gotta be around people too that's gonna build me up. That I can build them up. People that are of a like faith, a like spirit, that are speaking the word of God, that's going to speak the word of God in you. It's going to say, listen, God's in you. You can do it. All things are possible to him that believes. Greater is he that's in you. The promise of God is true. Jesus is the same. You're coming out already. God is going to bring forth healing. The blessing of God is on you. We're going forward. This church is going to grow. We are going to fulfill the purpose of God. You can have the dream God put in your heart. I mean, we need to be around people that are speaking things that build faith in us. And if you're around somebody that's tearing you down all the time, you know, I'm talking about associations, then you know what? Get away from them. Just tell them, look, I love you, but you know, I'm going somewhere. You know? And here's the thing. I'm not being critical of them. I know, you know, those limitations were set in their life too. Isn't that true? You know, they hopped up against that lid on that jar so much, you know, life kept. Hey, I've been there. I didn't grow up with no silver spoon. I was glad to have any kind of spoon. And even more important, I was glad the spoon had something on it, in it. You know, but I know, you know, those things, they like the lid on that jar, they can keep, you try to jump up and you feel like pow. You try to, although you pow. Listen, the only thing that's going to break that limitation is God in your life and this word in you. This is the great barrier breaker, is the Holy Ghost in you. You're a child of God. And the Word of God. Get your mind renewed. Teach your mind to say, listen, if God said it, mine, that settles it. You know? I have to talk to my brain sometimes. How about you? Brain, shut up. That's wrong. You're way out of line here. God said it. We can do it. That applies to an individual, to a family, to a church. And listen, let's speak. As believers, especially in the family of God, we should speak words of faith to one another. Don't tell people. You know, somebody comes up to you with a dream. Don't be like Joseph's brothers. Oh, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's You know, it's always interesting. The people without a dream always want to shut up the one that's got one. Isn't that true? Listen, love them, but don't let them shut up the dream God's put in your heart. God has good things for you. God has good things for us as a church. Listen, we're gonna fulfill the will of God and the call of God, individually, family, and as a church family. We're going to do it. How many of you are going to do it too? If you are, stand up on your feet. If you are, stand up on your feet. Breaking the barriers. Listen, I know this, and this is, I'm going to let you go in just a couple of minutes, okay? I know we went a little long today, but it's been good. It's been good. Boy, worship was good. You need this. I need this. But here's the thing. I know in here, everybody in here, there's some barrier you're facing. The reason I know that is because none of us have gotten perfect yet. I don't think. Right? So here's the thing. None of us are perfect. So what? There are barriers there. It may have been like I said before. Maybe you feel like it's just life circumstance. Every time you've tried to jump up out of that jar, pow. You felt like something slapping you back down. Amen? Just, I'm going to tell you what. Listen, you get your mind renewed in the Word of God. And listen, things happen to all of us, but they don't have to be a setback. Amen. They can be a setup for an opportunity. An opportunity for God to work supernaturally in your life. And here's the thing. What I want us to do today, I want you to get in your mind. What's that barrier? I mean, there may be more than one, but I'm telling you, usually when you talk this way, there's one that just jumps up there. The barrier that I'm dealing with right now. I want you to picture that thing kind of in your mind as much as you can. It may be abstract. Just close your eyes just for a minute. you picture that barrier. What is it? What is it? What is it that the thought says, oh, that you couldn't go there. God couldn't do that. God couldn't use you that way. God couldn't bless you that way. God couldn't work in your family that way. Whatever it is, you get it right there. And you see that. And I want you to just picture, okay, in your mind's eye, you just picture the hand of God coming down and just taking that limit off of that thing. Just taking the lid off, just taking the limit off and saying to you, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. What has God said about that limit? Did God set that limit? Or did someone else in your life set that limit? Did God say you can't? Or was that somebody else that said you can't? Because God says, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. You see the limit coming off. You see it coming off. You see it coming off in your mind's eye. See it coming off in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, by the power and revelation of the Holy Spirit, God, let the limits, let the barriers that have been there, let us see them coming off, O God. Let us visit, O God, the promise of God in our believing. Let us renew our minds, O God, and see the barriers coming off, see the limits taken off. O God, not only in this area, but other areas as the Holy Spirit shows us. In the name of Jesus, I declare the limits are taken off. The limits are taken off. The limits have taken off. What your mom and dad said about you, I declare their words are null and void. God's word supersedes. God says that you are a delight to him, that he loves you, that you bring him pleasure. He does not condemn you. Father, I thank you for it today. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.